explore our lives.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're trying to expand the boundaries of our knowledge.
also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists."
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation
proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian civil rights bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation.
That was Dr. King, and Dr. King was the leader of the free world. There's another man that died, Bishop Tutu from South Africa.
Archbishop and a Nobel Peace Prize laureate for his tireless campaign against apartheid in South Africa. After Nelson Mandela became president, he called on Tutu to head the Truth and Reconciliation Commission there, which investigated anti-apartheid crimes. NPR's Afabia Quist Arkton has this remembrance of Archbishop Tutu's life.
No one who heard it will ever forget Archbishop Desmond Tutu's chortle of delight and unbridled joy as millions of South Africans lined up in 1994 to vote for Nelson Mandela as their new president. These were South Africa's first democratic elections, and Tutu was voting for the first time at the age of 62.
I want to sing, I want to cry, I want to love everything together and jump and dance. And we just want to say to our friends out there, you've been fantastic in supporting us. And the day has arrived.
It had been a long journey for Tutu and Mandela, who spent his first night of freedom after 27 years in jail at
Bishop Tutu, his own voice. And I want to talk a little bit about Bishop Tutu, where you might understand, some of you Americans don't understand. I got Dr. Christian on. I'm waiting on, let me see if she on. Dr. Christian, you on? Yeah. I was waiting on Sister Chelsea.
Yes.
On. Okay, hold on. I want to say this tonight. This is the Dr. Martin King movement. And this was set up in order to keep Dr. King alive before black people. Some of our black folks have lost philosophy. They've lost what Dr. King stood for. Dr. King stood for truth and justice. Dr. King was an educator. And Dr. King could have been anything he wanted to be. But he decided to go in the gutter and help poor black people. Dr. King was the greatest orator of our century. Because nobody put words together like Dr. King. Now, Bishop Tutu patterned himself after Dr. Martin Luther King. And in Africa, it was worse than America. It was worse than slavery. The white folks owned everything. And Mandela was with him, so they put Mandela in jail for 27 years. 27 years he was in prison for nothing he didn't do. So we know we're dealing with a European that's racist. We deal with a European that's been colonizing folks, raping folks, killing folks. But Mandela was 90 years old. But in this 90-year-old, he came from the hood now. And he become the archbishop, marching, going to jail. He opened up South Africa. And one while he boycotted to all the colonial power. When I say the white folk, y'all get out of here. And you got a handful of white folks controlling thousands and thousands of black folks. That's going on right now in Africa. I wanted Sister Chelsea to come and talk about that. Chelsea, when you get on, press 1, get your hand up, because I want you to talk about that, because you just left over in South Africa. But this is what I want to say. The people in South Africa was going through worse than what we was going through. We were talking about human rights. When Malcolm X was talking about, we were talking about civil rights. See, civil rights mean I want the right to go to court, I want the right to live. And Malcolm was talking about human rights. Right to live, right to not to be killed and hung. And Mandela went to jail on the same thing. He asked for human rights. And Bishop Tutu worked to get him out of jail. After 27 years, he thought he would give up. He didn't give up. And I want to thank his wife, Wendy Mandela. She worked a lot behind the scenes. Wendy Mandela is his wife. She didn't never get the recognition that she supposed to get, because it was certain white folks in power pushing the thing. Now, I'm gonna tell you what happened while you know. They had to let Mandela out of jail because Bishop Tutu had called all the European countries and all the African countries coming together. They wanted Mandela out of jail. And the catalyst that was Tutu, okay, who patterned his life after Martin Luther King Jr. And Martin Luther King Jr. patterned his life after Magandhi. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But before Magandhi came on the scene, there was an African in Egypt did the same thing. See, so you got to understand, it's all black, whether you know it or not. Now, what made Bishop Tutu become involved? The people was oppressed worse than we was in Mississippi and Arkansas in Africa. You got 100,000 people, you got 20 white folks controlling them, the money and all of that. And all and South Africa is rich. But you know, Jerry, the people is poor because all the resources was going to England, America, all the European countries were taking all the resources out of Africa and were leaving nothing for the people. And as I speak today, it's still going on. It got to be some serious. So Bishop Tutu fight just started. He's an ancestor now. He with Dr. King. He with Malcolm. He with Elijah. He with Marcus Garvey. So this is a whole new movement that's taking place. Now, my whole thing with Bishop Tutu, he worked within the system. Now, he was a hometown boy. He's a boy out the ghetto. What I'm saying, he came from the people. And he built his life up all the way to an archbishop of the Catholic Church. They had to hear him. And they had to use him because he was the only black person to control all them people all over Africa. Bishop Tutu. He came to America. American white folks greeted him, you know, act like they were so free. And we still in slavery right here in Mississippi, Arkansas, Chicago. And we still haven't got reparation yet. See, Bishop Tutu, and I want to bring this out before I open up the line for everybody to speak. You know, he was a great black man. You might not know his name. He was the Martin Luther King of South Africa. That's what he was. And because of him, is the South African over in Cape Town, over in all Egypt, he began to open up because the African, they had their feet on their head, okay? And Mandela was in jail for something he didn't do. But Mandela, when Tutu raised so much of hell and had the whole African planet in Africa ready to come down on the white folks, they said, well, we're going to let Mandela out. Okay. Now, they didn't let Mandela out because they wanted to. Worldwide people, here we got a rally in New York, Chicago, for Mandela to be free. Like, we got to have a rally for Jeff Ford and Larry Hoover to be free because they've been in jail for 20 years for something they didn't do. Now, what happened when we rallied all over America for Mandela to get out? Bishop Tutu went to all the churches, Catholic Church, and spoke in order to get him out. But the deal was, when you get out, we don't want you to be back with Mandela. We don't want you to be back with Wendy, because Wendy was the true woman of the movement. Yet she was another Harriet Tubman. You didn't do right, you come up missing. Because they was already come up missing by white folks. They were worse than the Ku Klux Klan on South Africa. But Winnie Mandela didn't take Noah Katam. Now, I can tell you some story about that. And that's why it was under courage fighting against Mandela. Wendy had shut it down, okay? And she had her army. That's the only way she survived. And because she had the soldiers on the outside, they was going to kill Mandela in prison. But because of Wendy Mandela, you know, boom. So the deal was with Mandela, when you get out, don't mess with Winnie. Okay? You can't see white folks still play games. That's why he didn't get back with his wife. People don't know that. And the other thing happened, but you listen to me. When he got out, he never did say we want our land back. Now he was the president, but he was controlled. And the only somebody could speak out was Archbishop Tutu. He was the one that made things happen in South Africa. And he greeted Mandela because Mandela knows that he was, Mandela was head of the movement. That means they locked him up. Like they locked Larry Hoover up. And the FBI come this year to Larry Hoover's most dangerous man in America, which is a lie. But people buy into that. To Jeff Ford, most dangerous man in America. These two guys from Chicago. They political prisoners. What happened to Mandela happened to Larry Hoover and Jeff Ford right now in America. So we got to get a committee, Dr. Christian, and send out some, write some letters and write some to where we can get these boys out of jail and some Bloods and Crips. You know, they say, they gang, they bad. The biggest gang is selling guns to South Africa and everywhere else. The biggest gang is in the White House. And Russia sell more guns and tanks all over the world. That's what happened. War, when we get a war, they make money. Ain't no war, they don't make no money. So what happened? I want to tell a story. He was 90 years old, still fighting a good fight. And some of you think you done made it. You done retired from your job. But I don't want to do that no more. And we suffering. Black folks is suffering right now. We going through another racial thing with each other. I mean, in Chicago, Detroit, California, Mississippi, tell me what black folks got. Tell me what power. Our buying power, Jerry, is $67 trillion. That's black money. That ain't Mexican money. That's black money. What are we doing with it? Other races, the Chinese, the Mexican, they live in the, you have 40 of them in one building. But they're getting their family together. They're bringing their family together. What happened? God, they're bringing the family together. Okay? Our people killing each other with nothing. When the Italian was killing, they was killing about liquor, about business. Young black is killing because of a car. Show you how bad we are. The only thing, Dr. Christian, is in the black community that's surviving, that's the funeral home. Ain't no other business in the black community besides the church, and then they shut it down. Shut it down. Because the ministers will not come out and support the truth. They want to get a Cadillac and get them a Rolls Royce, a Bentley, or get them an airplane. God want you down here, not up in no airplane. Some of them got airplanes. They ain't doing nothing for the people. Benny Hinn and the rest of them. And a lot of them got government funds, got government money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They got from Trump administration. And there wasn't no church going on. So it's a racist thing. It's white supremacy. Racism is real in America. Wake up. Mandela got out. Because there's certain things he had to do or they weren't going to let him out. But they had to let him out because Bishop Tutu had pushed the issue all over the world. You had white folks from from Chicago, Detroit, California, from America. Wanted to see him out, wanted to see Mandela out. We got to launch a movement because, I want to say this before I get started. Black folks put Biden in. I ain't talking about Trump, Biden. What have he did for black folks? You can raise your hand and tell me what he did. Because we didn't get reparations. Let me help y'all out tonight, since this is a civil rights thing. The government under Biden went and brought all them people from Afghanistan over him. They gave them, they let them stay on the Army base. They gave them jobs. They gave them free money. And they got a card where they can go to the hospital. These people just come over here. Talking about they helped us. They was over there for 20 years. $6 trillion. Where that money go? And when America left, they left helicopters. They left airplanes there. New buildings they had built. They left guns. They left all of that. That's taxpayer money. All of that would be complicated and brought it back to America, but it wasn't. We still got to fight the good fight. Now, I just want to say that. Definitely, I just want to bring it out. I'm going to see, can I get the voice of Bishop Tutu, and then we're going to go into question period.
For Desmond Tutu, the son of a high school principal, the church was not his initial vocation. He too started off as a teacher. But the champion of justice felt that the inferior education the white minority rulers were imposing on black South Africans was an insult. Tutu turned to the priesthood and was ordained in 1960. 15 years later, he was the first black dean of Johannesburg and committed himself publicly to the fight against apartheid.
We are going to be free! All of us!
The campaigning priest was arrested more than once, but drew strength, he said, from his faith, his convictions, and fellow South Africans. He condemned all forms of violence and confronted both the apartheid police and vengeful black mob necklacing alleged spies by throwing tires around their victims and setting them alight. By now, firmly on the international radar, Tutu warned the apartheid leaders that racism defied the will of God and that apartheid would not succeed.
The system of this country, apartheid, is immoral. The system of this country is evil.
But Desmond Tutu allowed himself this cry from the heart.
What must we say, which we have not yet said? What must we do, which we have not yet done, to tell the world that all we want is a new South Africa where all black and white will be able to live as equal.
In 1984, recognizing his work in the anti-apartheid struggle, the Archbishop remarked with his characteristic humor that one day no one was listening to him and suddenly, after the prize, anything he said, quotes, the oracle has spoken. After Nelson Mandela was sworn in as president, he asked Desmond Tutu to chair South Africa's grueling Truth and Reconciliation Commission to look into the crimes of apartheid. For the Archbishop, the harrowing testimony was traumatic, and he broke down and wept with the survivors.
One is deeply humbled by those we have often called the ordinary people. Deeply humbled at their resilience, at the magnanimity of spirit that they have shown.
Halfway through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which had to fend off criticism from all sides, Desmond Tutu was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 1997 and received treatment. Resilience and his sense of humor helped. Tutu was later a visiting professor in Georgia. He disclosed a recurrence of prostate cancer in 2005. Though it did not have a noticeable effect on his hectic schedule. Emeritus Archbishop criticized what he considered considered the inadequacies of South Africa's new leaders, especially their failure to alleviate poverty. He also continued his quest for global peace and social justice, joining the Elders, a seasoned group of world leaders, along with Nelson Mandela, Jimmy Carter, Kofi Annan, and others. Even during difficult times, Tutu said overwhelmingly, faith remained his companion, and he simply operated on the principles of the scriptures.
My freedom is God-given.
Nelson Mandela described the Archbishop as a blessing and an inspiration. Desmond Tutu married his wife, Lia Nomalizo, in 1955. They had four children. Ofebia Gustavton, NPR News.
Now, that was the story of some the story of Mandela and some the story of Bishop Tutu
at the same time.
So I just wanted to say that to you because I want you to get a clear picture of what he was doing. Racism is worldwide, not just in Chicago, worldwide. The only way we're going to stop it is come together. They murdered Dr. King. But Bishop Tutu was so woven into the Catholic Church, they couldn't murder him. And with so many people that he spoke to, when he got the Nobel Peace Prize, that opened up the whole African thing about the racism. And they used to put ties on people and burn them. That's what the whites did in South Africa. It wasn't in the majority, there was the minority. The majority was the black folks, and they were controlled. It's just like it's 100 people and two people control them. It's just like the Republican Democrat control America, and what they think about blacks ain't nothing. I'm a good Democrat. I'm a good Republican. Hell away with Democrat Republican. Who's gonna do something for black folks? I just picked up math on that. I just picked up math when I said that. We're talking about human right to live, right to, you know, we get caught up in religion so that we forget what it's all about. It's about man and woman being together. It's about you growing. It's about you opening up your being. We're going into 2000. We're going into 2020, 2000. Have you made up your mind that you're going to change? You're going to, well, I'm all right. I'll get a check from this one. I retired him. That ain't enough. You got to be able to help your sisters and brothers that's down. Don't talk about them. Get your business. Well, they robbing. They killing. Why? They haven't been trained. Down in Texas, the law in Texas, a congressman did this. Well, I don't want the principal to teach about what happened in slavery, what happened in Tuscaloosa, Oklahoma, where they burned the town down and killed the blacks and buried them in a ditch. Now, it's been 100 years ago, they're just coming out, and some blacks didn't even know nothing about it. So what I'm saying to you, Mandela was the Martin Luther King of South Africa, and he did a good job. And I just want to know what you think, and I want you to have your comment. I'm saying that Mandela was got out of jail by Bishop Tutu, and Bishop Tutu was hooked up. He was the first archbishop. They had to make him something because he had all the people with him. But what I'm saying to you, South Africa have moved further than America. And we've been free a long time, and we ain't got reparations. And ain't nobody talking about reparations. Joe Biden is getting the virus. He's doing this. What about reparations? What about money for black folk to set up business? What about money for black folk to set up nursing homes? I'm talking about government grant. Give us what you owe us. Don't give me nothing. Pay me what you owe our ancestors. We made America. Black folks made America great. Trump talking about make America great. Black folks made it great, Trump. and all Trump followers, we made it great. I want to get that out there. The Republicans saying, well, we can't do nothing. The black folks build Alabama, Mississippi. They build Chicago. They made cotton king in Mississippi. They made sugarcane great in Louisiana. Virginia, they made tobacco great. The South didn't need the North. They were making more money than the federal government. We're talking about the movement. And then I'm going to talk a little bit. What happened to the movement? How did the movement change? I'm going to tell you about that. I might not can get it all in this Monday. But next Monday, I'm going to tell you what happened to the movement. The backlash of the movement. Let me say it again. The backlash of the movement wasn't white folks, wasn't the Ku Klux Klan. Black folks messed up the movement with greed and lust. The man put some cheese out there like the rat. You go grab the cheese. You know, and Mother Gibson just said, I got some cheese. God bless you. I'm praying tonight for you. I just want to talk about where you're supposed to be standing at as black men and black women, as educators, as football players, basketball players. With all the basketball players, what they're doing with their money? Guys smoking dope, buying cars, looking at white women. Football players, what they're doing with all the money they're making? Well, Kaepernick kneeled and the owners wouldn't put him back in football. That's slavery. They put you on the pedal. It's just like the football player, the basketball player. Listen to me carefully. I don't care what their name. I'm Michael Jordan. I don't care who they are. They're put on a pedestal. And if you got good muscle and you tall, we can put you in the NBA. But if you ain't got no skills, you can't be NBA. You know, what about being a doctor? What about a lawyer? What about a plumber? What about a bricklayer? They ain't teaching none of that. The Arabs in the black community got the liquor stores and the grocery stores. And the Indians got Subway, Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, this is real stuff. We got to change this in 2022. And then we got some of the people got women getting the wigs done, getting the nails done, getting the hair picked. How come black women ain't got that kind of stuff with all the money, $6 to $7 trillion all over the world? People tell you to get out of their store. You want to march up the man so he don't want you. It's his store in your neighborhood, and he tell you to get out of it, kicking your kids, selling you rotten and bad meat. Ain't nobody in the black community, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy, Popeyes, franchise. It ain't no solid stove in the black community across this country. I'm talking about real black power. Black power when you own the politics. Black power when you own the banks. Black power when you own what you eat. Black power is what you own, what you grow. Wake up. This is 2022. Don't let Dr. King's name be in vain. Don't let Bishop Tutu's name be in vain. You know, I'm going to go to the radio. I'm going to go to the talk. If you want to say something, I'm going to start with Dr. Christian and Brother Jerry. I want you to have something to say. I want everybody to have something to say about Bishop Tutu. Stop being silent. I don't want to get that. Stop being silent to the truth. Your mother and your daddy, my mama, my dad, they work hard. We can't speak out. You know, all the entertainers, let me help y'all out. Michael Jackson, Prince, and the rest of them was poisoned with dope, drugs, and killed. You know who got the money for Michael? Michael didn't get the money. Prince didn't get the money. They had $100,000 pop. $400,000 policy on Prince and Michael, maybe more than that. Now, those record companies have put them in their policies. The rappers, same way with the rappers being shot and killed, they got a policy. You better to them dead than alive. Black on black, white in black, killing black, and we're trying to put it on somebody else. Bishop Tutu, Archbishop Tutu, was 90 years old. God bless him, so he's with ancestors now. But I know his spirit woke me up, and the spirit of Dr. King and Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey was on the scene for all of them. They couldn't kill Marcus Garvey. They put him out of the country. Put him in jail, put him out of the country. And the same thing Marcus Garvey talking, we're talking now. We ain't moved on. You know, they put the projects up. That was a project. And they took the women and said, you can get in the property, your husband can't get in the husband after sleeping in at night. Okay? So it's been a project. They've been testing us. And some have been falling for that. Right now, this is the Dr. Martin Luther King movement tonight. The last Monday in the year. We're going into 2022. Get your act together, brother. Beating on your woman. Get your act together. Shooting down your brother. Your other is your brother. How can you ever achieve something when you got murder on your mind? How can you achieve something you want to steal what's already yours? Oh, I wish I had somebody. But if we don't teach our children, they don't know no better. Half of the young folks robbing and stealing, they know nothing about Marcus Garvey. They know nothing about Malcolm X. Nothing about Dr. King. They just hear the name. You know they don't know nothing about Archbishop Tutu, A.I. Dunlap, Reverend M.L. Sodd marched here in Chicago, the West Side Organization, about the first abuse program on the West Side, right here in Chicago. That before Rainbow Push was wasn't going. At SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and we had the Black Peacestone Nation, and we had the disciples and the gangster disciples. They was the vanguard for SCLC. They was the vanguard on the West Side and South Side. We had the West Side Organization. Chester Robinson, and with the West Side Organization on Roosevelt and Ashland. Oh, I can tell a story, but I want to tell you, we done come a long way, and we done got stopped somewhere. Some way, we done got stopped. We stagnated. We got to get back running. You know, when the beaver dammed the water up, the water of the black man been dammed up, and the black woman in Detroit, in Chicago, down in Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana. That's why you see storms and floods, because we got to step out, you know, and we can't holler. Well, it's civil rights. Civil rights and human rights is different. Now, because I want to be gay, that ain't no civil rights. That's something I want to do. You know, if I want to go with little boys, that ain't no civil rights. If I want to go with a man, that ain't no civil rights. That's sin. See? And the lawyers took it and turned it all around. So, oh, his rights. What right you got? Your right to be a man, your right to be a woman. The other stuff is a lot of lies. Okay? Like when Trump said that he won. The biggest lie out. And we got to deal with these lying, crooked politicians. We got to deal with them sitting in the city hall doing nothing for black folks. We got to change. In the city hall, we got to change the mayor, the governor. We have to change them that ain't doing nothing for poor and oppressed black people. That's what we got to do. We're talking right now about Bishop Tutu. He died yesterday. He was 90 years old, but he was a hell of a leader. Dr. King was a hell of a leader. Malcolm was a hell of a leader, but they told you they weren't leaders. They told you Dr. King was a troublemaker and said Malcolm was a troublemaker. They always give you phony stuff and you bite off of it. They told you the virus going to kill you. Let me help you out with that virus. You got a boatload of people, took the test. Let me help you out. I want to get it right. They got on the cruise and all of them were tested. Took the booster, they went out. Between coming back, all of them got the virus. Something going on, people. Now, if all of them got it and you took the test, what that means? Somebody's lying somewhere. But you know, those folks that by and by, it's going to come out. Stay focused and go with the gods of the universe. I ain't talking about running no churches, hallelujah, and shout and get funky. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about somebody really, you know, you got to get your whole glory, hallelujah. You're going to hallelujah right to hell, wherever hell at. Because, you know, they made up hell. Oh, y'all ain't like, let me be quiet. This is the civil rights movement. This is the Dr. Martin Luther King movement. We're going to keep Dr. King live on this show every Mondays. We're going to talk about Dr. King and the movement and what's going on in Chicago, what's going on in Detroit, what's going on in California, all over the world. That virus is kicking. Ain't nobody got together and said, let's see where it come from. Now, the scientists can get something to fix it. Where it come from? How come it keep coming? Now, as I speak tonight, over in Israel, Jerry, they're getting another booster shot. They got one booster. They're getting another booster shot I've seen on TV. Now, if Israel's getting another booster shot, guess who else going to get one? Get ready, Mel. You're going to get a booster shot, too. See what I'm saying? So Israel and America hooked up. They hooked up. Y'all might not think they hooked up. Here's Ron Magna. He an ambassador. And the boy got killed 16 times in a cover-up. And ain't nobody said nothing. Ain't no leaders come out to now find somebody else. It's a few come out. But the masses didn't come out. It's all right. You've been kicked around, lied to, tripped, and you saying it's all right. But if I step on your toe, you want to kill me. The white boy can come in the neighborhood, take your woman, take your house. You won't say nothing. Put you in foreclosure. You don't do nothing. But when you put the white folks in foreclosure, they're going to kill everything around it. Oh, let me leave this alone. I'm just letting you know, it's got to be some changes in 2022. Glory, hallelujah. We're talking about tonight, if you're just coming on tonight, we're talking about Bishop Tutu from South Africa. He was a great man. And we're talking about what happened to him. I'm going to play a little more in, then I'm going to open up the line.
Archbishop and a Nobel Peace Prize laureate for his tireless campaign against apartheid in South Africa. After Nelson Mandela became president, he called on Tutu to head the Truth and Reconciliation Commission there, which investigated anti-apartheid crimes. NPR's Afabia Quist-Arkton has this remembrance of Archbishop Tutu's life.
No one who heard it will ever forget Archbishop Desmond Tutu's chortle of delight and unbridled joy as millions of South Africans lined up in 1994 to vote for Nelson Mandela as their new president. These were South Africa's first democratic elections, and Tutu was voting for the first time at the age of 62.
I want to sing, I want to cry, I want to love everything together and jump and dance. And we just want to say to our friend out there, you be...
He was 62 when he voted, and y'all ain't voted yet. You got the right to vote. People died in Mississippi and Arkansas for you to vote. And now, and Trump didn't want to turn the voting back, well, you can't get to the polls. If it wasn't for blacks, Biden wouldn't be in the office today. Now, that means that he owe us something. He owe us enough to say, I'm gonna give reparation to black folks. And let me tell you what reparation means. It means that you're able to get some money and set up a debt, your ancestors, the money that due us. If you come from slavery, you do some of the money. If you had anybody in your family that was in slavery, and all our families been in slavery, okay, they even gave the Native Americans some money. How come the original, we are the original black people. I know some of you have been to Africa, but you know nothing about Africa. Like the Africans didn't know nothing about America when they came over to our ancestors. So now I want to go there. You already in Africa and don't know it when you're in America. Thank you, Kathy. Now I'm going to set tonight. God bless you. Don't forget, this is Dr. Martin Luther King movement. Yep, and we're going, this is the last month of the year, and I want you to get yourself together for the movement. And I want to thank Dr. Christian. She's going to have a women's, she's going to have a women's composure, her and Mother Chelsea, and they're going to get together with these women. But I want, Dr. Christian, I want you to get a card together that says Dr. King Movement, Women's and Men's Movement, where people can get that card. And on the back of that card, Black Power, Freedom. Freedom is Black Power. Black Lives Matter, that ain't going to get it. You got to have Black Power. And that means that you got to own your destiny. Where you going? You got to have your own business. You said, well, I don't want to integrate them. I want the white folks to have their stuff, and I want to have my stuff. Integration, it takes you down. You know, you got to beg somebody to give a coat. But if you're making coat, you got your own coat. Because I'm talking all right tonight. I say. I'm going to the telephone. I'm over the line. I'm going to start with 80884. I want to know what you think about Mandela, what you think about Bishop Tutu. 8008, God bless you tonight. Sister Mary Scott, how you doing tonight? Your line is open. Did you know about Bishop Tutu?
Yes, about Tom Hall.
Okay. I know it seemed like your voice kind of down. I want you to get you some, do what I want you to do. You know, next month we're healing, but I want you to get some lemons and lime and fix it up with a little honey. And you do that, that's going to get your voice back in order. Thank you for the call. That was Mother Mary from Chicago. Okay, I'm going right now to Detroit. And Bishop, let me tell you something else I want to tell you. Bishop Tutu was 90 years old. Stop saying you old. The man was 92 years old, and look what he did. See, Methuselah lived 1,000 years and do nothing. Jesus lived 33 and turned the world upside down. And Bishop Tutu did a lot for South Africa. You know, and don't think you can't do nothing. Your voice means something. I'm going to 2117, you're on now. Mother Pearl, you're on now. 2117, you're on now. What you think about Bishop Tutu? I'm going, after I'm waiting on her to get her stuff together, I'm going to 8138. Okay. If y'all don't know Bishop Tutu, 8138, what do you think about Bishop Tutu?
I never heard of him before, Bishop.
Oh, never heard of him. I want you to Google him. And he was the Dr. Martin Luther King of South Africa.
Oh, okay.
And it's all right. Let me tell you something. It's all right for you to not know. You know, our people die of not having knowledge. And somebody, that was this radio a program for, bring knowledge to them that don't know. Bishop Tutu was the cause of Mandela getting out of jail and helped Mandela to be the president of South Africa. That's what he did. He was the Dr. Martin Luther King movement of South Africa. Okay, so I want to explain that. I'm going to 5350 in Chicago. Now, 5350 on there, what you think about Bishop Tutu? You're on now. Okay, let me move on. It ain't no sin not to know. But you ought to say, I'm gonna know what's going on. I'm going to 3339. What do you think about Bishop Tutu? What did you come in by Bishop Tutu? Let me move on. We're going to 1678 in Detroit. What do you think about Bishop Tutu?
Well, I thought he was a very knowledgeable man. He brought a lot of information. As far as on our behalf, he pushed for the positive energy of us as a people. And I guess he did it in the most eloquent and, you know, intellectual way. I think many could say he could do he possibly could have did more, but I guess he did it in his way, the only way he knew how to do. And so I think much of the situation of him, I thought he brought it in his own way. I pray that we have more people come forth to express themselves and be positive for us to move forward with what's the future for us as a people.
Well, I want to say this to you. 2022, we got to wake up. We can out, no more, because so much is going on in fuel and like that. I want to say to everybody to come on, Dr. Martin, get Google Bishop Tutu, where you might know what he had to go through. I mean, he really fought for people that live in Shannon. They were living in tents. All those people. And because their color, because their skin was black. And like you said, we got a long ways to go. We got to step up the plate in 2022 for black folks to start getting in business. And I want everyone to put in your plate debt-free. You achieve that by getting some of this money that the Arabs getting free money, that the people in Afghanistan, they're getting free money. They're getting insurance, and you can't even get no insurance. So it's important for you to start getting some of these benefits that people come to this country and ain't did nothing. You paying tax, they ain't paying no tax. Some people come to Afghanistan, ain't paying no tax, but they living on the reservation, they living on the base, army base. They get finna go to school and college and come out, and they're going to be depressing you. And your kids going to be in prison or dead. And that's where it's coming out. I'm telling you tonight, I'm praying for you, Tanya, up in Los Angeles, California. And she's trying to get home, but it's hard to get planes and enough drivers. God is able tonight, and I want you to know, Dr. Critch is going to have a live screen on black women, and she's working on that, and we're going to put it together. And you ain't got to leave your house. You can do it right at home, and we're going to be doing that. And I thank God for you tonight, and, you know, I want to go off the air with this hymn.
He's got the whole world.
Was a thing.